This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Hello, I'm Max Potter for the Jodcast, and I'm joined by Cristina Romero Canizales, who's studying at Manchester this week, visiting from Chile. And you've been part of the LERGI effort, which is an eMerlin legacy project. Could you tell us a little bit about what LERGI stands for and what it does?
Yes, sure. So, hi. LERGI, it's a luminous infrared galaxy inventory. So, effectively, it's a sample of galaxies that will be observed or are already being observed with eMerlin. And the purpose is to understand the mechanisms that drive the very high star formation in these systems, to get an idea of the physics that is going on there. Because in these systems, which are very dusty, radio gives us a very direct view of what's going on in the centers of these galaxies. And what's going on, it's supernovae, supernova remnants, and also activity from an active galactic nucleus. All this in a very violent environment where you have lots of gas flowing in and you have starburst.
Okay, cool. So what is it about ultra-luminous infrared galaxies that makes them such interesting locations?
If you think of our galaxy is producing stars, lots of stars. But then if you think of the most massive stars, which end up their lives as supernovae, we can have one of those every 50 or 100 years. Whereas on those galaxies, you would have one of such events once per year.
Wow, okay. So not somewhere you want to live then.
No. So yeah, the star formation is bursting there.
Right. Really. So what causes that kind of much greater star formation than we see in our galaxy?
Okay, so one reason is that these systems, which are very luminous in the infrared, as the name says, is that most of them have been found to be in mergers. So when you have two galaxies, gas-rich galaxies, which are merging, you have all the gas of them flowing towards the central regions. And that produces all this compression of gas produces a lot of star formation, specifically of massive stars. So then you have lots of supernovae and also AGN activity.
Okay. So which area of LERGI have you been working on?
So at the beginning, it's been only data reduction of the few sources that have been observed. And so we, 4 years ago, we analyzed the data of the first galaxy that was observed, and we published it. So what we found was that this galaxy, which is very active in star formation, also has an AGN, which when you see in optical, you cannot really see the two components directly. But with radio, you can map them. And you can distinguish between them by looking at their variations or also the spectral behavior. So we found this candidate for an active galactic nucleus, and more recent observations that we later combined with the European BLVI network show us that this AGN, it's actually accreting material, and it's having a jet structure. Okay. Which it's very interesting because it tells us that at the same time that we have the very strong star formation, we also have some accretion into this black hole.
Right. And I take it that's not a common result. You don't expect to find that.
You would expect, but the problem is that we are lacking high-resolution observations. And some other galaxies which have very detailed observations, people have only managed to map the star formation activity in the form of supernovae and supernova remnants. Whereas having both, it's unique, quite unique. Mm. It's only very few systems.
Right. Oh, that's cool. So how many galaxies are you looking at with LERGI?
So the total sample is 42 galaxies, but at the moment there have been only 6 of them observed or so.
Okay.
Something like that.
So there's still a lot to come then.
Yes.
Right. Oh, great.
But also the thing is that because these galaxies have lots of gas, we are also interested in looking at the dynamics of the gas. So we need to observe the lines. For example, the neutral hydrogen. What is this doing? Which is the best tracer of the flow of the gas? This is really just starting. We are just getting data in line mode and still needs to be analyzed. So the data that we published 4 years ago, it was only continuum.
Right.
But okay. The line data, it still needs lots of of work.
So line data, you're talking about spectroscopy.
Yeah.
Sure. Cool. So what kind of things are you looking for in the gas dynamics? What are you expecting to find, or what might surprise you if you do find it?
For example, the feedback of the different processes that are going on there. I have Galaxy, but this is just as an example. It's not part of LIRGI, but something that we can expect to find is that sometimes the feedback from the supernova or the formation of the stars or even the AGN is so powerful that it's emptying or depleting the gas in the central parts of the galaxy. So you have competing processes for forming stars, but then also if the gas is being depleted, then you end up with no gas, so you cannot form more stars. And you have to see which of these competing processes is leading and which one of these is actually hitting the gas or giving the leading the LIRG phenomena in each one of these galaxies.
Okay. So that you talked about there was a jet from this active galactic nuclei that you found.
Mm-hmm. Mini jet.
A mini jet.
Yes.
Okay. How was it small?
It was very small, so in the order of a few parsecs.
Oh, okay.
So normally when you have very powerful AGNs, you expect these jets to be of the order of kiloparsecs. But this structure we found is very, very small.
Right.
Mm. And what we have inferred from the observations is that the AGN itself is very young. So there is this global picture of what LIRGs are doing, that at the beginning, the merger stage, you have a very strong star formation. And as time passes, the star formation will decline and you will have higher activity from the AGN.
Okay.
That's like the global picture.
Right.
So this case is really nice because you have the two components.
Mm.
But then, of course, the AGN is very young and it's accreting material, but at a low level.
Mm. So you'd expect as time goes on,
it will become more powerful.
Right, yeah. Right. So the, like, star formation rate will tend to decline as the accretion rate will tend to increase, and then you'll get a stronger jet, presumably.
Yeah, that's okay. One possibility, yes.
Right. What are the other possibilities?
You could also have other systems that it depends how were the galaxies that were merging first.
Mm.
It really depends on that. You could have other systems where the AGN is stronger than the star formation. And really this is just a view, but we need to observe really this, each one of these galaxies in different stages to see really what's going on.
Mm.
Because all this, it's either theoretical work or also coming from optical spectroscopy where you cannot really see what's going on in the central regions because you are obscured by all the dust.
Right.
So you really need to have radio at high resolution and to directly detect the components in the inner regions.
Okay. So I take it this is all new science. We haven't got a catalogue of these observed in radio previously of any sort.
No, that's okay. Why, yeah, we have this legacy program.
Right, cool.
So there are no previous observations at high resolution on these galaxies.
Yeah.
And these galaxies are drawn from a much bigger sample. There are galaxies that are being observed with another program that it's called Great Observatory All Sky Survey from NASA telescopes. So at the end, these observations will also be a complement for observations made with Spitzer, Hubble, Chandra. So it's really good to have an overall view at the different wavelengths on individual objects to really know what they are doing.
Yeah.
What's happening in
Yeah,
them.
Definitely. Yeah, so you can sort of, if you've got these optical observations and you've got questions about what's going on, you can then look at the radio and see, unobscured by dust, what's happening inside these galaxies. And that's really interesting. So how did you choose the sample that you were going to observe of these galaxies?
Well, one thing has to do with the declination, right? Because with eMerlin, we can only observe northern sources.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And the other one was to choose galaxies which were not observed before with at very high resolution, so that you wouldn't have competing programs, for example, with a very large array or so.
Right, yeah.
And there must be others that I don't remember.
Fair enough. So I was looking through the Lurgi proposal, and there was one sentence that I really liked, which was that you were going to discover something about phenomenological sequence and timescale of nuclear starbursts. It's a very nice sentence. I just wondered what those words mean.
Yeah, it's related to what I was telling before, that you expect the mergers to evolve in such a way that at the beginning, the energetics of each system will be dominated by star formation, and later on by active galactic nucleus. This is what is expected.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's cool. So another thing that the proposal mentioned was you were interested in constraining the magnetic field parameters. As a plasma physicist, I'm quite interested in magnetic fields. What have you found out about that so far?
So far, nothing really, because we have very few data.
Yeah.
But for one of the targets that we follow with the old Merlin array and also with the European BLBI network, well, we didn't observe polarization yet, but there is a way to obtain the strength of the magnetic field. And the only thing we could tell at that point was that it has a magnetic field which corresponds to that observed in other advanced mergers, which was fitting the scenario. But more I cannot tell, because I think the polarization observations are really in the first steps.
Fair enough. Well, something to look forward to then. So what's the sort of future of the program? Where are you hoping to go with it? And what would be the next sort of observational stage?
We would need first to complete the sample. And then, of course, now we only have observations in one band. We need observations in two bands, at least to characterize the emission. And then also get the line emission. And then I guess when that's done, we have to see what information the other telescopes are giving us to build an overall view.
Yeah. So are there any upcoming telescope projects that will be seeing light soon that you're interested in results from or would complement what you're doing?
I think from the GOLS sample, I think they have been observed already with Chandra and Spitzer and so on. So,
right, fair enough.
So that information is already available.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
But there is also, from the Lurgi sample, there is a subsample that's been observed with the European BLBI network. That gives us even higher resolution at the level of milliarc seconds.
Okay.
So that's also really good, because we can see details that are lost when we look at the data with eMerlin. But then with eMerlin, because we have a bit lower resolution, we are more sensitive to larger structure. For example, diffuse gas. When you see diffuse gas, you can think of different things. One is all the emission that has just gone out through the galaxy. So it's old electrons that were at some point accelerated by a supernova event or supernova remnant or even the AGN.
Okay, nice. So is there anything else you're working on outside of Lurgi?
Yes, so this is just one project I'm involved, but I also have other projects mostly with European BLBI network. So at the moment, we are observing a tidal disruption event. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's when there's a star that passes too close to a black hole and then it gets disrupted. So part of its envelope, it's accreted by the black hole very fast, and this produces a flare of emission through all the electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So we are studying one of these events.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the cool thing is also that this is related also to mergers. Because in galaxies which are post-starburst, which are thought to come from merger activity in the past, like our LIRGs, in those galaxies you have higher chances to detect these events. It's all connected.
It's come full circle. Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, Christina. It's been great to have you on the Jodcast.
Thanks to you.
Cheers.